KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have cloudy skies, 54 degrees. Temperature's been holding steady over the past hour. Winds out of the south-southeast at around 10 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. We look for mostly cloudy skies today with light rain, a high around 62, showers and possibly a thunderstorm overnight, a low of 34. And a winter weather advisory will be in effect from 1 a.m. Friday until 7 p.m. on Friday for most of the KJAN listening area, with exception of the far west and southwest counties. Officials of the Creston Police Department said today 18-year-old Autumn St. Ange of Diagonal was arrested late Wednesday morning at the Creston Walmart. St. Ange was taken into custody for theft in the fifth degree. She was cited and then released from the scene on a promise to appear in court. And a Creston woman reported to police Wednesday morning that sometime between 10:20 p.m. Tuesday and 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday, someone entered her home in the 300 block of East Clark Street and took a 50-inch TV along with a class ring. The loss was estimated at $300. Officials of the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office Wednesday said an inmate at the Pott County Jail, 46-year-old William Sherrod Lewis of Council Bluffs, was served with a warrant on Monday for theft in the fifth degree. Bond on the charge was set at $300. Lewis was presented with the warrant and then returned to the custody of corrections staff. There were also several prisoners transferred this week from the Douglas County, Nebraska Jail to the Pott County Jail in order to address warrants in Pottawatomie County. They include 19-year-old Edmundo Galvez of Carter Lake, who is being held in the Pott County Jail on $11,000 bond for false imprisonment and kidnapping in the third degree. 51-year-old William Nunez of Omaha was wanted in Pott County for domestic abuse, simple assault, and theft in the first degree. His bond was set at $10,000. 35-year-old Marco Burns of Omaha was transported to the Pott County Jail under a warrant for violation of probation. 38-year-old Raymond Yautz Jr. was brought to the Pott County Jail to address a warrant for felony escape from custody. 34-year-old Michael Martinez was wanted for theft in the third degree. 37-year-old Jermaine Tucker was wanted for felony escape from custody. And 30-year-old Andrew Lippert of Council Bluffs was transported from the Douglas County, Nebraska jail to Pott County under a warrant for violation of probation. Lippert remained in the jail on a hold for a residential correctional facility. The Iowa Department of Public Health yesterday said they were notified of 52 additional positive cases of Iowans with COVID-19 for a total of 549 positive cases as of last report. Two more deaths were also reported. Both persons were over the age of 81. One lived in Washington County, the other in Polk County. Nine people in Iowa have died so far, as of the latest information. The virus is now present in 60 of Iowa's 99 counties. State health officials say 63 people are hospitalized in Iowa. 303 were never hospitalized and are isolating at home, self-isolating. As of last report, 287 women and 262 men tested positive for COVID-19. There has also been a total of 7,304 negative tests to date. Officials in the Madison County health care system said Wednesday that Madison County had its first positive case of COVID-19. That individual was hospitalized in Polk County and was said to be between the ages of 61 and 80. Now, the latest data also showed there are 10 COVID-19 cases in Harrison County, 5 in Pottawatomie County, 3 in Shelby County, 1 each in Audubon, Adair, Madison, Montgomery, and Taylor counties, and 2 COVID-19 cases in Page County. There are 5 cases further northwest in Monona County and 4 in Woodbury, and 1 each in Carroll and Crawford counties. Governor Reynolds said she may issue restrictions related to COVID-19 outbreak that are local and not statewide.
We are able to look at the metrics based on communities, based on counties, based on regions.
Reynolds so far has issued proclamations during the pandemic that are statewide in scope and has advised city and county officials that they do not have the authority to issue local stay-at-home orders. Hotspots of the virus seem to be developing in the state. By midday Wednesday, 37% of the confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Iowa were in Lynn, Johnson, and Washington counties.
There are different variations of the impact across the state, and so that's why we're going to make the decisions based on the data that we have, and we're going to try to identify where some of the hot spots are. We'll continue to work with them, see if there's additional directives that we need to put in place that could help mitigate what we're starting to see there.
Reynolds has repeatedly referred to the metrics she and her administrators are reviewing to decide if more restrictions are necessary. She told reporters yesterday she'll use the same data to decide when businesses she's ordered to close may reopen.
That might happen in different pockets of the state as well.
Researchers at the University of Washington have projected more than 1,300 Iowa Iowans could die of COVID-19 by August. Reynolds says that calculation didn't take into account actions in Iowa aimed at stopping the illness from spreading.
For instance, we've closed schools. The colleges and universities have shut down. We are practicing. We've shut down some non-essential businesses. We've reduced social gatherings to less than 10. We're practicing social distancing.
University of Washington researchers, that is, considered stay-at-home measures as a key in reducing fatalities. Reynolds says the state epidemiologist is working with the University of Iowa experts to come up with a fatality estimate for the state. So far, state officials have linked the deaths to 9 Iowans, as I mentioned, to COVID-19. Iowa bars and restaurants have been given permission to provide carryout or delivery of cocktails or other alcoholic beverages as their seating areas have been closed to the public. That was set to expire at midnight on Tuesday. Shortly after 5 p.m. on Tuesday, Governor Reynolds issued a new proclamation so that service may continue until April the 7th. In March, Reynolds had declared a public health emergency in the entire state of Iowa and ordered specific types of businesses to close, but she has resisted calls for issuing the statewide stay-at-home order.
You know, I can't lock the state down. I can't lock everybody in their home. You know, we have to make sure the supply chain is up and going. We have an essential workforce that has to be available. And so people also have to be responsible for themselves.
Four other parts of the order Reynolds issued late Tuesday give county hospitals more flexibility to borrow money and allow Iowa corporations to hold annual meetings electronically. In addition, the governor waived upcoming continuing education and certification deadlines for peace officers and jailers. Well, Iowa women will be able to have essential surgical abortions under an agreement between attorneys representing the state and those representing Planned Parenthood and the ACLU of Iowa. Governor Kim Reynolds issued an order last week that canceled all elective surgeries through April 16th. According to the agreement, the governor's proclamation only suspends non-essential surgical abortions. ACLU of Iowa spokesperson Veronica Fowler says it ensures that doctors can treat abortion the same as other procedures and make decisions based on individual patients.
We have confidence that the state will do what it says that it's going to do, that women who need essential abortion services will continue to receiving them without interference from the state.
Abortions are illegal in Iowa after the 20th week of a pregnancy, and delaying some surgical abortions could send women past that timeline. Medication abortions have never been affected by a governor's order. A family leader, a conservative group that supports an outright ban on abortion, issued a scathing statement. Family leader CEO Bob Vanderplatz accused Planned Parenthood of trying to hoard medical supplies that doctors and nurses need as they deal with COVID-19. And anyone who's read an obituary lately or listened to one on the radio is noticing significant changes in how funerals are having to be conducted in Iowa during this coronavirus pandemic. Susan Gable, executive director of the Iowa Funeral Directors Association, says they're adapting to follow the governor's mandate banning gatherings of 10 or more people to help prevent the spread of the virus.
A lot of funerals are being done privately, and then the celebration of life is being scheduled for later once the restrictions are removed.
In some circumstances, grieving families are asking for the rules to be bent to allow larger families to gather and mourn the loss of a loved one, but Gable says it's simply not permitted to defy the mandate.
There are also cases across the country where funeral homes who have defied it are being traced back to being the epicenter of a community's outbreak, and that's definitely not what any funeral director across this state would want.
Technology is helping distant family members who can't make the trip back to Iowa interact with loved ones at funerals. With coronavirus, Gable says the use of the internet by Iowa funeral homes is being stepped up on a grand scale.
They're using Facebook Live, they're using Zoom, they're doing YouTube, they're also doing just private FaceTime to family members. And funeral directors across the state are willing to work with families to provide whatever they can in this odd time.
Some federal health officials estimate the number of dead from COVID-19 could reach 200,000 nationwide. Gable says Iowa funeral homes are prepared to handle a big influx in deaths, and she says they're working to cope with one particular challenge.
Funeral directors are required, and it's obviously absolutely necessary, for them to use the personal protective equipment, the PPE that we hear is in such great shortage. So we are working with folks in our state and nationwide to secure some PPE for our funeral directors.
Founded in 1880, the Iowa Funeral Directors Association represents more than 700 Iowa licensed funeral directors and 425 funeral homes. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.